Fire it.
Hey, look, man.
I love it. Get it, Daniel.
Fire this. Halt now. There we go. Look at that.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez. And you got us a bleep right out the there gate. Was
literally a bad word in the music. And Monday. Go.
Oh, man. What? Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the Daily Edition, everybody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Molly Wood is the one of us who curses. It's not me. It's just her.
Really?
So, yeah, so this is a Monday, as I think you will get from the mood that Molly and I happen to be in. But we're here to help make today make sense, if I can get the words out, on this little, 15-minute-ish thing that we do every weekday of this coronavirus economy, right?
Yes, indeed. It's our new afternoon hangout where we say a bunch of curse words and then talk it out and weirdly feel better, perhaps.
Oh,
For those of you who may just be joining us, because we hear we're picking up some new listeners, welcome. Thank you. What is going to happen is that each of us has brought some version of a news item to discuss. We'll talk about it. And then after we get ourselves good and bummed, we'll get to our new segment invented by one fun Kai Rizdahl.
Yes.
The Make Me Smile.
One fun, yes. I will tell you in advance, by the way, I do not have a Make Me Smile item for today.
That's okay.
I just don't.
I'm here for you.
Right, good.
I got it.
All right. You want to go first? What's yours?
Yeah, I guess so. I think that maybe mine is related to yours, although I'm not sure. I clicked it in advance. I have three links that are all the same story.
Of course you do.
First of all, I have been happy to hear reporting about these anti-quarantine protests. Note, and I think this is smart, the fact that they appear to be highly coordinated. That, in fact, they appear to be the work of specifically a trio, literally three people, far-right, pro-gun provocateurs, as the Washington Post describes them, who are using Facebook groups to organize these anti-quarantine protests. So that they are appearing to be seemingly organic, but they're really arguably not.
Yeah.
So it was good to hear that acknowledged on several different news podcasts this morning, because I think that's important context. And it also explains why it is really good that Facebook has removed a lot of those events. And yeah, go for it.
Okay, so here's my sharp intake of breath. You ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The universal radio broadcast indicator of I've got something to say. So look, you and I have talked before about the slippery slope of social media companies removing content.
Yep, we have.
And you have come down on the that's a bad idea.
I have come down on the that's a bad idea. That's a particularly unfair bit of whataboutism, though, because previously not events that would get people killed.
That is totally fair. That is totally fair. And I did not mean to whatabout you. But, look, Mark Zuckerberg owns Facebook. Facebook's a private company and Zuckerberg can do whatever he wants.
He definitely can. This is one of those cases where these guys, social media platforms have essentially said this is a black and white issue. This is a public health issue. If these people, if we allow people to promote behavior that can transmit a highly communicable and frequently fatal virus, that's an easy call.
Okay.
We may end up debating down the road whether it is that black and white. And in some cases, it clearly is not, as evidenced by the president's tweets last week. For example, but this is one of those cases where I think Facebook has said, yeah, listen, if you're promoting an event where a bunch of people are going to hang out together in close proximity, period, let alone like the guns and the whatever, that is a public health concern of the kind that's going to cause us to take it down. And I'm in favor of that also because it's giving people the impression that these protests are more widespread than they are when in fact... The most recent polling, hopefully you'll find the link to this on our website from today's episode, is that there's not a lot of debate in this country about the value of quarantine and staying home. The vast, in the 80th percentile of Americans fully support. And in fact, the support for these measures, social distancing, whether it's canceling meetings, closing bars, or restricting non-essential travel, has only grown from March to April. Nobody wants states or governments or cities to reopen too soon and get everybody sick.
Yep. No, for sure. And look, I should say here, I agree with you, but I felt it important to point out our prior conversations. That's it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's we should have, right. That's like a whole separate episode that we should totally do because these are weird times. I mean, you are right.
Everything has
changed. These are weird times in social media. Everything has changed and these companies are in this. And it's true. Like, I agree. Generally, I am on the side of free speech and then this is a weird one. Yep. So fair. Yeah. Fair point.
Mm-hmm. So mine is an indicator of how we're doing on the social distancing stuff. So I guess technically they are related. Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger, the two guys who founded Instagram, have come up with what I think is a really cool site. And I'm a consumer of data journalism, but I'm not, you know, an expert in it by any means. But this thing just tells you a lot. So the site is rt.live, and it is a near real-time tracker of how we are doing, broken down state by state, in our response to the coronavirus, specifically how we're doing on a measurement, and I'm not an epidemiologist, something called RT, I guess it is, right? Which is a measure of how fast the virus is growing, right? It's the average number of people who become infected by an infectious person. So what you have to do is you have to get RT below one, right? And then eventually it'll be good. Anyway, so this thing tracks state by state how individual states are doing. And it's really simple. It's green is good, you're below one. Red is bad, you're above one. It's tracked in real time, and you can look up yesterday and last week and 2 weeks ago. And it's super, super cool. I really recommend it. And it's just kind of wild. Connecticut's doing super well. They're down below 0.5. North Dakota, not so well. They're up above 2. Check it out. Yeah. It's really cool, I think.
And there's also some really counterintuitive stuff as I'm sort of like scrolling through here, like Florida is lower than you might expect, given a lot of the media about Florida. Yep. It's actually just barely sub one. And then Minnesota, which I thought I had been hearing was doing so great, is 1.4.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fascinating.
It's crazy. And look, it changes day by day. And, you know, check in and see how our state's doing. It's really neat, I think.
Yeah, so it really, you know,
right?
Come on. It is uplifting. And I've been reading, I'm like hesitant to even say it, but I've been reading about antibody testing. Like, they've been doing some in Santa Clara County and a whole bunch in L.A. And what they're finding is that the number of positive cases is really high. Like, coronavirus antibody testing shows L.A. County may have an outbreak that's up to 55 times bigger than the reported cases, but the death rate is still the same. So there's, like, I don't know. There may be reason for – I'm, like, afraid to even say it because, no, it does not mean we should open up.
Yeah.
But it's cautiously good news.
Cautiously good news. It's also super freighted politically, and it's also really complicated, man. I mean, epidemiology stuff and serology and antibody testing, honestly, what we ought to do, and I don't know, we can figure this out, is do a, do a thing on, I know, right? Is do a thing on how all this testing and tracking works. Because look, testing is important, and antibodies and all that stuff matters, but I'm not sure exactly how. You know?
I think that that would be so smart to just explain how it all works. And the difference, even the difference, I mean, I think people generally understand, but the difference between antibody testing and case testing and how many false negatives there are, because that is the question.
Yeah, I can't
kind
answer
of awesomely.
Questions. I don't know.
Like, tons of people are listening to our show now, including a lot of my friends, and then they text me and they think I know all this stuff. And I like, I love you guys, but I do not know.
It's better not to have any friends, Molly. That way nobody listens.
I don't know what kind of reagents we're lacking.
Right,
I don't know which specific ones.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Right.
But we could know with the right person on the line. I like that. That is a very, very good
idea. So Sam's going to get on that one. Real-time slacker. Okay. Sam says I'm game for that. So there we go.
Yay. Awesome.
Okay.
Possibly not tomorrow, but maybe next week.
I got nothing, as I said.
I can do it.
Here we go.
So remember last week, I believe on Monday, when I was like, oh my God, I did this virtual experience over the weekend and it was goats.
Oh,
and then next weekend, I'm doing the sangria and the secrets with the drag queens. Well, I did.
And?
Guys, everybody needs to be doing these. So
really?
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So we put on wigs, like several friends and I signed up to do it. And we put on our wigs and our lipstick and we got all dressed up and we got our sangria ingredients. Mm-hmm. And then there were like 30 people in this Zoom, and two of them were groups of friends celebrating somebody's birthday, but they couldn't get together in real life. And so they were doing this like virtual gathering. And then these drag queens are in Portugal. So it's probably like 2 o'clock in the morning for them because it was about 6 p.m. Pacific. And it was, I think clearly they do these experiences in real life during normal times because they had a full set and kitchen and like, it's just, it was a show. And so they were like teaching us how to make sangria, and then it would be punctuated by a drag show. And then at one point they made everybody run off and get some costumes and put them on to be, it was, and then we just got drunk as skunks drinking sangria. It was the most fun. And I'm realizing that there is this like universe of these virtual experiences out here that are sort of like allowing you to have a social life and or entertain your kids. Like I know a bunch of people are going to do the goats now, but it's not just the Airbnb ones. Like apparently a bunch of hotels are doing events and they're just like they're doing weekly digital lessons for kids with like water quality stuff or art classes. I don't know. I have to say, I really would not have thought that this was the kind of thing that I would be into, but it is.
Come on. I totally see you doing this. Even ex post, I can see you doing this. Totally.
Oh, like the drag party for sure. I mean, yes, I would do all of these things in my mean the virtual part.
Especially.
Like
with
I wouldn't do all of this in my real life for sure. But I wouldn't have thought they'd be so fun virtually, and they are so I'm amazed at the connection you can make and how wonderful it is to have everybody on this Zoom call basically just be like It's so wonderful to see humans. Delightful. Delightful.
Enough. Good deal.
It was so great. We will be back tomorrow with our expert guest to talk about worker protections, and we will hear from you, the listeners. Marketplace, makemesmart@marketplace.org is our email address in case you have ideas for things to do.
Yes.
Virtual events.
Yes.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson, sometimes in real time also.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
I was going to say was also questions. Send us questions. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. That's what you want to know Wednesday.
Yes, totally. I love how we're just like working out a weekly schedule. Thursday and Friday we drink. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and smart speaker skills. Go, go, go.
Daniel Ramirez drove today. The theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday. And Daniel Ramirez, the executive director of On Demand, is Tarn Yeves. And the senior vice president and general manager who made an appearance on Friday's show. You ought to check it out. Is Deborah Clark. There we go. Boom.
Amazing. I'll send you guys pictures of the wigs.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.